Thank you for listening to the Redemption Church podcast. For more information about Redemption Church, please visit redemptionokc.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for listening.
All right. Well, it's good to be back with you guys. I've been here before. Let's see, I think it was two summers ago. It was the first time I preached here, and we were facing that way. So you guys have changed. Well, so Jeff asked me probably a month and a half ago about preaching this Sunday, and told me the series you guys were going in. And so this is kind of a first for me, and let me explain what I mean by a first. It's not my first time to preach. It's not my first time to open up the Bible or any of those things. But it is a first time to take one phrase of a verse that I'm supposed to preach on, and it's the last phrase of the verse, and I'm supposed to give a whole sermon on it. So I'm sitting here going, well, what do I do with that? You know, like the context has been given. If it hasn't, then the first guy really failed you, right? So that's like you're building each week and I'm going, man, what do I do with this? And so here's what I'm going to do. And I talked to Jeff about this. I said, this is probably going to be a very practical sermon, which isn't a bad thing, mind you. But what I thought we would do is camp out with the phrase. So I'm going to read the whole verse and then we'll hit our little spot. So our spot is that we're going to love the Lord our God with all our strength. And I'm going to look at that word strength and we're going to unpack that, what that looks like. But let me read real quick from Mark chapter 12. We'll pick it up in verse 28. It says, one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. All right, so this is called the Shema in the Old Testament, right? So this was super quoted by Jewish people everywhere, okay? So when Jesus is saying this is the most important command, he's not saying like it was debatable. Like, so he's saying this is the one that kind of covers all of them. This is the highest command above all, right? And then he's going to say the second is like it. And this is the one, the second one is the one Paul and John and other guys are going to say the whole law is fulfilled in this phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. I thought it was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then love your neighbor as yourself. The second was like it. Really, he's pointing back to what Jesus said. And so really, it is all of it because it's actually going to be impossible for you to love your neighbor as yourself if you're not obedient to the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So this word strength, right? This is just my sense of humor. It's not great, but it is my sense of humor nonetheless. But so Jeff emails me. He's like, you know, let me know your thoughts. And my initial thought was, oh, I'll talk about CrossFit. It's a real good Christian way to love God with all your strength. It's a joke because clearly I don't CrossFit anything. And I don't think it is the most. Anyway, I have my thoughts and feelings about it. It's just a fad. It's like Slim Fast. But anyway. So here's the deal. The word strength literally means capabilities or your abilities, right? So let me just give some other words that it might describe it. It's our means or our resources, our power or our position that we have, privileges that we have, talents that we have, skills that we have, the potential that we have. All those things fall under loving the Lord your God with all your strength. That's what that word strength is. Now, what's interesting about this is when we think about our capabilities, our capacities, the resources that we have, the means that we have, the positions that we have, the privileges that we have, the powers that we have, the potential that we have, we don't tend to think of those in terms of loving. At least I don't think we do. At least I struggle with that. I don't think of my wife staying at home with four of our kids and that every time she's changing diapers that's a way to love God with all her strength. Yet it is, or it can be, and it can also not be. It can also not be, right? Because what if bitterness is at the root of that? You're like just begrudgingly changing your kid's diaper and angry at God all the time. Like, why did you make kids do this? You know, probably you're not loving the Lord with all your strength there. But but the reality is that in all phases of our life, what we're doing with the things that we've been given, with the things that we have, are actually saying more about where our treasure is, where our heart is, than anything else. And this is going to be kind of scary, I think. It was for me in prepping for this because I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. So let me give you some. I'm going to nerd out on you here real quick. Anybody in here like anthropology? Not the store, trust me. Not that direction. Like cultural studies. There, is that a better way of saying it? Anthropology, love it. Got a coffee mug. I don't mean that one. I mean like the real study of like, okay, cultures and things like that. Great. As long as everybody knows. So here's the thing in anthropological studies. What they try to do is get to the worldview of a culture. Now, this is going to help you. So if you're wanting to better understand the culture of Edmund, okay, I'm going to give you a quick like way to do that. It's not easy, but this is the way you're going to want to do that, okay? So in every culture, there's a worldview. The worldview would be core to who they are. It drives everything. So there's this core. It's our worldview. Moving out from that, then you see the beliefs, then you see the values, then you see the artifacts or the behaviors. So if you think of it like an iceberg, right? You see the tip of an iceberg, but the rest of it's underneath the water. The only thing about all that that's seen is the behavior. You can't see values, you can't see beliefs, and you can't see a worldview. Those are not visible things, but the artifacts or the behaviors tell us something about what's going on down deep. Now, the progression here that Jesus gives us is intentional, that God gives us from is intentional. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It is not just kind of rearrange it so we don't say, with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's intentionally a progression that one's building on the other. So each are contingent upon the other. Similar to this whole thing about understanding cultures. This worldview that leads to beliefs, leads to values, it leads to behavior. So that if our heart, right, if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, it moves out that we love the Lord with all our soul. It moves out that we love the Lord with all our mind. It moves out that we love the Lord with all our capabilities, all of our abilities, our resources, our means, our privileges, our powers, talents, and skills. But here's a problem. Since the fall of mankind in Genesis 3, we have done this progression backwards. Most of us spend the majority of our time with our strength, with our capabilities. We don't want to dig below. What we want to do is try to drill below. We're going to shove those strengths down till they get to the core of who we are. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to keep doing it, I'm going to keep doing it, and keep doing it until it finally is in my mind, and then it moves down into my soul, and then it moves down into my core. And the problem is you're never going to get there because it's an insanity thing, right? What isn't the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, but never getting it. We keep trying to do, but not understanding that what we're actually doing is revealing our heart the whole time. And so this is a big problem here in the Bible Belt. So we're planting a church in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Okay, it's a big college town, fair enough, but it's still the Bible Belt. It's still pretty conservative, Republican, and all those other things, right? But here's the thing about Stillwater, Oklahoma. Same is true in Edmond. Because we're the Bible Belt, there is a worldview in which people subscribe to that they would claim to be Christian. But when you look at their behavior and you start to think, Christian. Because we've set out a thing of behavioral things that say, this is Christian. So it depends on denomination, right? I grew up Baptist, right? So if you grew up Southern Baptist and you drink, you're either a horrible Southern Baptist or you're not a Christian. Typically, they think they're the same. So it's like, if you're not Baptist, you're not Christian in some of those circles, right? So it's like, okay, well. And so we have these behavioral things that we look at and we say, if you're this, and this, they got to be a Christian. So you'll meet some really nice person and you assume that they're a Christian if they live in the Bible Belt because they're really nice. They were generous to you. They did this. Well, he's a godly man. So when they die, we talk about all the things that they did that prove they were a Christian, but we don't know that they really were. There's plenty of non-Christians that do really nice things. They're great family people. I know a lot of Mormons would put us to shame when it comes to family things. But then some dude walks up with a sleeve tattoo and smoking a cigarette, and you're like, well, that guy's not a Christian. And he might be more Christian than the person that lived this wonderful, generous family life. You see, our artifacts, our behaviors say something about us. And this is what's scary, because what most of us will do is we're always trying to better our capabilities, better our ability, our strength. but we don't have a loving the Lord with all your strength in mind. It's really about us. So here's what happens. When we get it backwards, okay? When we go backwards, we can be prideful. Look what all I've done. Look how great I am. Look how much money I give away. Look how many nice things I've done. Look how great of a person I am based on my behavior. We can become slothful, right? We get lazy. This is one that I struggle with. I struggle with all these I'm about to list off. This is one I struggle with. I can repeatedly tell people, like, and this is true about me. I was a really good baseball player when I was little, but as soon as I got to high school, I was just feeling guilty about this the other day. It's like I've been out of high school for who knows how long. I was feeling guilty about this. My tryout my freshman year, I'd always been like an all-star. I was a starter on every team I'd ever played on. Like, I was a really good catcher. It's what you do when you're slow and chubby. Although it's changing a little bit. But back then, that's what it meant. But I could hit well. I mean, I did a lot of things well with baseball. I had a great arm. I was really good at baseball. So my freshman year, I try out for the baseball team. The coach cuts me from the team, tells me I'm too slow and don't have skills like the other players have. Never heard that before in my life, jerk. So I'm like, I'm going to come back next year. I'm going to show them. I'm going to prove them wrong. I was a manager for the football team. I didn't want to play football. I had to get a PE credit, but you could, baseball didn't count. So I was a manager for the football team. So the baseball coach was a receivers coach. He comes up to me and says, hey, Brian, are you going to try out for the team again this year? And I'm like, this is encouraging. Like, the coach wants me. He's asking me, you know, that's how I perceived it. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about it. All smiling, happy about myself, you know, proud. And he's like, oh, because we're going to need a manager for the baseball team. Nope, not trying out now. I mean, I just gave up, you know? And it's how I did with school, too. I could pass tests. I made it all the way through college. I promise you, I didn't study more than an hour for a final in any of my college classes. And I was a 3-3 student. And I'm like, I could have been a 3-8. I could have been much better in high school. I had all this potential, but I got lazy with it. Why? Because at the root, I mean, you dug down deep. I was one of those that calculated risk all over the place, and comfort was an idol for me. If it pushed me, if it meant I had to do a little bit more work to be better at it, I don't want to do it. If I'm good enough to get by, I'm good enough to get by. And it scares me because I see it coming into pastoral ministry as well. It is a constant war within me. Now, I can argue the behaviors. Look, I know God's given me the ability to communicate publicly with people. I'm intimidated by 5 people. I'm not intimidated at all by 5,000. Like, I love 5,000 people. It's so great. But 5 people, it's like, oh my gosh, they're all literally staring at me and I have to stare back at them. Like, at least I can bounce around. So if someone's giving me a weird look or they're sleeping, I can just ignore them. I can move around here, right? So it's like I can feel good about myself because someone's going, you know? But not with 5. They're all like, and they're probably just thinking, but it's not, you know, I'm like, no, 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 this is awkward. Like, is my shirt, is it doing that thing again down there? I don't know. What's happening? You know? So anyway. So we can become lazy. We can become fearful, right? Fear of man. We've worked so hard to do something, and now we're scared to death. What are people going to think about this? What are they going to think about my behavior? What are they going to think about my abilities? Oh, nobody thinks I'm a good singer. And so we get all hurt because the church won't put me up to sing, or I'm scared to death to get up there because what if I go to sing and they don't feel the same way that my parents feel about me? And the reality is nobody feels the same way your parents do. Like, you're always the American Idol. So just let that one go. But this, we live in that fear of what do people think? And some of you, you're more afraid of what other people think of you, so much so that you can't even listen to what your spouse thinks of you. Those random others that you have no name or face for, they matter more to you than your own spouse who looks at you every day and says things about you. The other thing, when we go backwards, is become powerful. We become controlling. We become dictators. And the reason I'm saying all these is because all of these are root sin issues. They point to a root issue. That your heart doesn't love the Lord your God with all your heart. Therefore, with all your soul, with all your mind. Because we started with our capabilities. We started with our resources. We started with our means. And so here's the thing. You want to take a towel? You want to start digging in a little bit. If you want to understand Edmond, Oklahoma, start asking the question, what are the behaviors, what are the artifacts of Edmond? What are the things, look at the city, what are the things that they do? You're trying to dig down to what do really people believe here in Edmond, Oklahoma, right? What do your neighbors really believe? Start asking those questions. So tell me about yourself. What are some of the things you do? Listen to the things they give their time to. Oh, you spend 30 hours a week fishing. Why do they spend 30 hours a week fishing? Start digging in. What's going on? What is down there at the core? Because this is the place where salvation begins to take root and lives are transformed. But when we follow the progression and we walk in, by, and through Jesus Christ in these, we're humble, not prideful. We're faithful, not slothful. We're bold, not fearful. And we're servants, not dictators. You see, it flips it, doesn't it? It flips it. And yet we spend most of our times dealing with our strength. That's where most of us camp out. And so we can't understand when someone preaches a sermon that says, trust Jesus, go to Jesus, believe in Jesus, pursue Jesus. We're like, great, but how? What do I do? How do I do this? Okay, great. You tell me that my problem is that I'm doing this, and not trusting Jesus. Well, then how do I trust you? What would it look like if I trusted Jesus? We're talking about heart level issues, but most of us are dealing with strength level issues. You get in in Stillwater, we have fight clubs. I don't know if you have like smaller groups to get together. Some of them call D groups or DNA groups or whatever they are, accountability groups, a little bit more than that, whatever it is. We have fight clubs where we want to fight for the faith and we want to fight sin. And what I constantly tell them is this, look, we don't want to deal with just surface level sin issues. Those are sin issues nonetheless, but that's not where we want to find ourselves resting. Because here's the reality, if pornography is a struggle for you, you could overcome that. You can work really hard to overcome that. But the problem is, unless there's a heart transplant, a heart transformation there, you're just going to replace that with something else. Maybe it doesn't seem as culturally gross as everyone sees this as, but it could still be just as sinful. So now you're not binge watching stuff on the internet, you're binge watching Netflix. But who cares, because it's TV. You don't feel as bad anymore, do you? But the same heart issue is still there. You haven't dealt with the problem at all. You just shifted everything over to something else. But the reality is down deep in your core, you're not trusting Jesus. There's fear that there's places there where you're putting up stuff going, no. Whoa. No, we're not going there. Recently for myself, my mom told me a story about over Christmas. I knew we were poor growing up. I didn't know we were this poor. And it's messed with me because I've started to ask the question, what is it else about my childhood I don't know and understand that has a lot to do with where I'm at today? Because what happened in my childhood, as I'm starting to believe, is I started to put some deep roots down. I've started to anchor some things down and go, this is what I believe about all things. And here's what happened, is it made me jaded, it's cynical, it made me bitter and frustrated. I complain about a lot of things. So now I'm going, okay, I need counseling. So I'm going to do that now to try to do help. Someone help me dig down because I don't know how to get below the surface here. I keep trying all these behavior modifications, but none of it's changing anything. So what else? Something deeper is going on here. So she tells a story of how numerous times at dinner, there's four of us kids, she would sit there, put a glass of water on the table, and listen the rest of the hour or so of dinner time to us kids saying, Mommy, we're hungry. Mommy, we're hungry. And that's all she had to give us. And now I'm starting to understand the eating problems that I have. I eat fast. I'm not a military kid. I think if you're a military kid, you're supposed to learn to do that. Someone told me. I don't know if that even makes sense. Some of you are like, idiot. Take it for what it is. But I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just trusting that someone told me truth once and they probably lied to me. But anyway, I eat fast. I don't know why I eat fast. Now I'm starting to understand. When you're that hungry and someone puts anything in front of your face, what do? You eat it as fast as you can. You're not thinking about the science of it. This is actually worse for me. I don't know what I'm doing. This protein's not going to be able to get in there just quick enough. It's all going to go through and then fat's just going to settle there. I didn't think about all that. No one told me. I'm hungry. I want to eat. So when you drive by that person that's cramming food down their throat in the car and you start to judge them, stop for just a moment and go, why? What's going on there? Start helping people to dig deeper to see what are the root sin issues that are there.
Not just behavior modification. This is why I wish that maybe we wouldn't have gotten to the culture wars as quick as we did. Because I think if we'd have pulled a step back, the homosexual's problem isn't that they're homosexual first and foremost. But we've made that central. Why? It's behavior. It's behavior. The alcoholic's problem, behavior. We can change that. Let's change that. Let's change it. Stop being this. And we've subtly started to communicate to people, if you're not doing this, 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 and this, God's happy with you, you're going to heaven. But if you're doing this, 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 and this, you're going to hell. You're not going to hell for any one thing that you did. Nobody goes to hell for actions. It's not a behavior issue. It's a heart issue. So if we're going to love the Lord our God with all our strength, we have to understand it tied into loving him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And then the natural progression is that we love him with all our strength. So here's my challenge to you as I'm preaching on loving the Lord with all your strength. Spend more time with your heart, soul, and mind. And listen, if you want to go Lone Ranger on this thing, let me go back and read real quick what he says at the beginning. Verse 29, Jesus answered, the most important is this, hear, O Israel. Chris said it best just a second ago. Church is an all y'all thing, right? That's Jesus' way of saying, this is for all y'all. This is not Lone Ranger. Listen, if you think you're going to dig down deep to the hard issues of your sin problems, you'll never get there. You'll never get beyond behavior. You're going to need a brother or sister to help you walk through that. And then you're going to have to help that brother or sister walk through their own junk. And not like a one-off. Hey, you know what your problem is? You're not trusting Jesus right now. You know what your problem is? Like, that's not going to get anywhere. Like, deal with one person first, then let's take a time out, now deal with the other person. Okay, right? But no, we got to have community. But listen, we're in the Bible Belt. Church is easy to do. Just show up on Sunday. Get to a bigger church, by the way. Don't come to Redeemer Stillwater. You're not going to like it right now. There's only like 38 people that show up. Everybody knows your name. I met with a Life Church pastor in Stillwater this week for lunch, and I said, bro, we have kind of a very different thing going on here. I was like, people love coming to your church because it's so big and they can get in and out. It's like, people hate going to our church because they can't do that at all. He's like, yeah, guess you got a point. It's true. I don't think the mega church is a sinful thing. But I think it's got sinful people that are coming to take advantage of it. And it's possible we might never hear the gospel message and go to church our entire lives because you're always asking, how can I get better at marriage? How can I get better at business? How can I get better? Come on, man, stop doing this go through the whole Bible thing. Give me a topical series on how I can improve my ex-life. See what I did there? I got close. X was like a blank. Okay. Seeing who's paying, I'm telling you, I'm just trying to find out who's paying attention. Someone's back like, kids, it's I said X. I'm not saying anything else. We've got to get to the root. So what does it look like then if we love the Lord our God with all our strength as a result of loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? I want to look at four areas real quick. I'm just going to go through these. Home, and then what I call work, school, play. It's kind of everything you do. Church and the world. So what does it look like if we're loving the Lord with all our strength in the home? Think of all the resources you have in your home, Mom. To love the Lord your God with all your strength in the home, it starts to change the mundane. The mundane all of a sudden isn't as mundane because it matters. Every little thing you're doing that you feel like, if I have to say this again to my child, every time you're saying it to your child, though, you are helping them to walk in the way of the Lord. And all the while, you're learning about the patience of God, who hasn't gotten frustrated with you and said, if I have to tell you one more time. Nor has he ever turned to the side and been like, to the Trinity, I can't do it. Can't do it. If I have to, I can't do it. They'll never figure it out. I've been trying and trying and trying. Every day I say the same thing to them and they do it again. Stop swinging your arms at the table and the cup of water won't fall over. But no, we just keep swinging our arms at the table, don't we? Listen, the mundane's not mundane anymore. But you're never going to feel that way without the heart, soul, mind. Loving the Lord with your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Because it's going to feel like begrudging duty. You're just doing this because you have to. Get me out of here. Someone else take over. I'm tired of doing this. Kid will figure it out. No, you press into those moments. Let the frustration, let those things take you to Jesus to start digging into the root issues, right? Why am I so frustrated that my kids don't get it? Because God's exposing your heart. Because you still don't get it. You're still trying to achieve his approval, and he's already said, no, you're son, because I said you are. He didn't choose me, I chose you. What adopted son chose his parents? None of them. The parent chose you. My wife's adopted. I love the story that she understands that at a whole other thing. We picked you. You don't have to do anything to be our daughter. You just are. Because we chose you. But here you are getting all frustrated, trying to do this, trying to do this, trying to do this. Because why? Maybe it's because of that. Maybe it's because you just want a nice, comfortable afternoon and the kids to finally nap. Why can't they figure out nap time? When they're 60, that's all they do in the afternoon. Why can't they figure it out at 5? Right? So we're getting frustrated. But listen, it's exposing you. Oh, I just want some me time. Uh-huh. Let's dig a little deeper there. Or dads. Huh? I know you go to work all day. You're busy. You're tired. That's true of moms, too. Not all moms are staying at home. You come home, you're worn out. And the easiest thing to do is kind of stay checked out. I've put in a full day's work. You've used all those resources in the workforce, and then you neglect them at home? So you're a really strong leader, or you're a really strong admin, or you're a really strong, how are you using those resources at home to bless your family? Not just to make money. Have you stopped to think, man, how have I used this to be a blessing in the home? This is how you love the Lord your God with all your strength. But when it's not happening, we have to dig deeper. What's going on at the heart level there? Maybe you're not getting the recognition you want at home, so you're upset. Maybe you just are slothful. You get home and you hit cruise control, it's lazy. That's what I grew up around. Man, as soon as we were old enough to mow the lawn, guess who mowed the lawn? Not my dad. He sat on the couch watching sports. Go mow the yard. I look forward to the days where I get to mow the yard with my son and then do those things with him. How about work, school, and play? When we're out using our resources at work, school, and play, that means being a good employee, good boss if you're a boss. Serving is one serving the Lord. That's what that means, right? Loving the Lord with all your strength would be one serving the Lord. You're not trying to push people down to get up the corporate ladder. You're not using your positions of power and privilege to shun other people. You're trying to help lift them up. You're doing it in a way that would reflect God himself. That's what it would mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love him with your strength is exactly what Jesus did when he loved us with his capacities, his capabilities, his abilities. He sought to serve and build others up, to put others before him. So much so, the whole Philippians 2 thing about him is that he did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he humbled himself, became like a man, died on a cross. That's the model going into work of how you love him with your strength as you say, Lord, how can I use the resources, the strengths, the abilities that you've given me to better this company, whether it benefits me in the long run financially or not? But because I want to honor you and I want to honor others, it's you speaking up and using your voice of privilege when there's things going on in the workplace, such as sexual molestation or assault or minorities being pushed down, that you speak up and say, no. I'm going to use this position of privilege and power that I have right now, and I'm going to call this out. This is wrong. This isn't happening here, and I'm willing to lose my job over it, but I'm going to do it because they're image bearers. I'm going to do it for the sake of Christ. That's loving the Lord with your strength. These are just small examples. Even when we play, right, when we recreate, that we do that well, that we actually do it. Take time to rest, that you have a Sabbath rest. That's loving the Lord with your abilities all week long so that on that seventh day, on the Sabbath day, you can just say, Lord, thank you. Because really, at the end of the day, hasn't he done it? I mean, you're just giving back to him what's rightfully his. You're saying, Lord, glory to you. And so he says, rest. Enjoy the last 6 days. Enjoy what's been. If you've worked hard, it makes Sabbath a whole lot easier to enjoy. If you've been slothful, if you're prideful and you're waiting to get more, you can't wait for that Sabbath to be over so you can get back to the grind. Puff yourself up, get all big and bad again, because the Sabbath is humbling. Church, how are you using your resources to serve the church? Are you doing it so that you'll get more positions of power in the church? You want to be Chris Clark? Can't wait till he lets me up there to sing. They're going to regret hiring him. But you use your gifts to bless the kingdom and not worry about taking Chris's job. Or you're going to give a lot of money to the church and you think that means you get to have a little special conversation over lunch with Jeff? So a couple years now, I've been giving quite a bit of money. The Lord's blessed us with a lot of resources. And there's just one thing I've really wanted here at Redemption. Come on now. You don't think people do that? Yeah. Somebody hadn't done it here because y'all don't have a building yet, so I guess nobody pulled that string. You know? Hey, Jeff, I'll give you a couple million and we can get a building. Jeff would have gone for it. That's the only time. He'd be like, oh, sure, let's do that. So here's the deal, right? So how are you using those to just be a blessing to others, whether you get recognition or not? You're a good graphic design person, man, step up and say, hey, guys, if y'all need logos, things like that, man, please let me know. Amen, right? Can I get that? Can I hear that? Same problem we have. We're in a college town. You'd think we'd have figured that out. Bunch of young people, but no, social media. That's our thing. Maybe you're really good with social media, by the way, huh? Step up, offer to help out. Man, there's so many different ways you can use the gifts and skills you've been given. Most of us sit around going, well, how does God want to use me? The problem is you spend most of your time shining your light in a bright place. You don't think you have any value. Go to the darkness. Go shine in places. Go be creative for once. Speak up and say, hey, I don't know if this would serve the church at all, but man, this is something, it's like a hobby of mine I'm really good at doing. Maybe you're a photographer. You just want to take pictures. You're a videographer. You want to help do videos. Or you're someone that can run a website, create a website, make it better website. Maybe you're someone that can simply just serve and do all kinds of things that nobody even knows, but you love to do that. It's even therapeutic for you. I don't even understand that, but for some of you, it is. You're just gifted that way to use those things, what? For the building up of the body of Christ. What we think that means is that we all got to be theologians. Well, if I'm not a teacher, if I'm not this, or I'm not a pastor, I'm not a worship leader, how can I really build up the body of Christ? Use your gifts. That's how you do it. All of it. It's all on the table. It's all for the good. Why? Because we're the kingdom of God. We're a community, a new humanity. And if that's the case, then let's get rid of all the other things in the world that don't matter, that we think don't matter. And you're going to find out real quick how important that they really are. Don't think of your gifts as less. Understand with your heart, soul, mind that you love the Lord with all your God, with all your heart, soul, and mind. Therefore, when you love him with all your strength, you take all the things he's given you and you use it for his glory and for your good and for the good of the church. The last one is the world. So now it's taking all these things and let's put it into the context of mission. How are you leveraging your home? It's a resource to show biblical hospitality to your neighbors. You know how evangelism is going to be done from here on out in this country? The most effective form of evangelism is going to happen is hospitality. You inviting them, whoever them is, into your home. And I don't care if it's a one-bedroom studio, or not even a studio, not even a one-bedroom, a studio is just, there's my bed, there's my kitchen table. I don't care if you're in a mobile home. I don't care if you have four roommates. It doesn't matter if you own a 5,000 square foot home or a 100 square foot home, tiny home. How are you leveraging that for the sake of the city, for the sake of the gospel? How are you leveraging your financial resources? You guys that are going on this medical mission, my guess is you have a medical background to some extent. You're using that, right, as a resource to bless others. What are some of the other resources you guys have that you can bless the city with, that you can bless the world with? Same with work. How are you leveraging relationships at work? How are you leveraging your positions to bless people? Not to be goofy with them and be like, hey, I'm the manager, so you kind of have to go to lunch with me. And before we eat, I'm going to share the gospel with you. If you'll let me share it, I'll buy your lunch. Like, don't do that. Just buy his lunch or her lunch and get to know him. Listen, start with behavior. Start working out. See if you can start understanding what they really believe and then how the gospel is really going to communicate to their heart. Dig. Let's dig. Let's break up some ground in our city using the resources, the potentials that you have, the privileges that we have to speak out against injustices in our city. We have that voice. Use it. The church has a prophetic voice, always has a prophetic voice in the city. Use that so that we can see our world transformed by Christ. Now listen, only Christ has done this perfectly. He's the only one that has ever loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here's what I think is amazing. Jesus was obedient to the greatest commandment, right? Otherwise, we got a real problem. But he was also obedient to the second greatest commandment. What is that? Love your neighbor as yourself. So who's Jesus' neighbor? Think about that for just a second. We're his neighbors. And he loves you as he loves himself. Not on the basis of anything you've done or not done today. You see, when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, meaning this, when he is enough for you, then you will be able to fully and rightly love others as you've loved yourself. Because in loving yourself, you go to the fount of treasure and joy and delight, who is Jesus Christ himself, and you drink deep of his love and his goodness. You love him with all that you are, and because you do, now you can love others. They're not a means to your end anymore. They're not something you're trying to leverage to get more of this or more of that. You just can simply love them because you're satisfied in Christ alone. He loves his neighbor as himself. And Jesus doesn't have fat days, okay? Jesus isn't insecure. He doesn't look in the mirror and be like, I don't know today. Not feeling it. If he does, God help us all, because none of us are going to be loved. No, he loves you perfectly. And he's perfectly fulfilled this. And guess what? It's in Christ that the Holy Spirit is shaping us into the image of Christ. By the Holy Spirit, you will be able to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So here's the deal. Don't beat yourself up. If you're listening to this today and you're going, oh my gosh, I'm never going to figure this out. Nope, you're right. That's why God didn't leave you on your own to go figure it out. He put the Holy Spirit of God within you to shape and mold you into the image of Christ and put the church around you to help build you up so that we would build one another up into Christ who is the head. So don't fret, don't fear, don't get down and out, don't give up. Press into Jesus through the word of God, yes. Through prayer, yes. Through the community of the church, absolutely. But know that God is faithful to complete the work that he began in you. I want to end with these three verses just to encourage your soul. Philippians 1:6 says this, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Don't fret. Don't give up. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24, now may the God of peace sanctify you completely. That means make you like Jesus. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. The last one's Romans 5, 6 through 11, just in case you're curious here. And if you're in your sin right now and you're going, man, I don't believe in Jesus at all. Listen, this is the best news I could tell you today. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will surely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person, one might even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we've now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received reconciliation. Not by any work of your own, because you were a sinner when he did all that. Dead in your trespasses, he has made you alive and reconciled you to the Father. Put his Holy Spirit within you. If you don't believe that, listen, he says this all throughout the Bible. There's this word he calls today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but come and put your hope and trust in Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace and kindness to us. Lord, we're not perfect. We haven't figured this out. There's not anyone in this room that has perfectly loved you with all their strength. And that's not the point of today's message. The point was to get us off of this behavior modification cycle that we've been on, to get us off this view of ourselves that somehow, well, because we did all these things, we're doing really good with God right now. And God, that we would come clean and just look at Jesus, who has perfectly loved you with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and say, okay, Lord, we've failed here. We've missed it. Lord, we've gotten bitter and angry and frustrated. We've turned our fist to you. We've lorded it over other people. We've become lazy. We're fearful of man. We're trying to please everybody, but we've missed you. And we seek control over everything, and we just get angry and frustrated when it doesn't go our way. And all of that is exposing that, Lord, we don't love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And so therefore, of course, we don't love you with all our strength. So Lord, help us dig, to not be afraid to get down to the heart issues, to go get counseling if we need counseling, but to not abandon the church. We need one another. And I pray that this church would be known as a church that presses into one another, that loves each other deeply. And by the love that we have for one another, everybody in this city would know those people are disciples of Jesus Christ. And we pray it in Christ's name and for Christ's name. Amen.